Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
There I was with the old man, stranded again, so off I ran. A young world crashing around me, no possibility.
It's Ann Wilson on vocals, that's her sister Nancy on guitar in the background. That's Heart, bringing us back 7 to the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. Having a great visit with our good friend Doug Barry. He's rocking us here with some good information, folks, about cross-border e-commerce. Organizations, platforms, websites, people who have put together a model that help people like you and me export our goods across borders, expanding our horizons, expanding our market, our marketplace, building our footprint beyond our indigenous borders. Doug, thanks again for being here. Export.gov, right?
Export.gov is the website, and our network of domestic export assistance centers.
120 or so of them?
The export assistance centers, there's 108 of them around the country. There's probably one very near most of the your listening audience.
And they're lined up, ready to go, and there are dozens more around the world.
Yes, we have people in more than 80 countries around the world,
yeah.
Every market where you want to be in every part of the world. And they would be very happy to talk to you about an e-commerce strategy in their countries.
And they're good folks, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you, the Department of Commerce is one of the really good investments that we make in our government. Okay, Doug, you had a couple of quick pieces of research that I wanted you to get out, and then I want to talk about implications. Go ahead.
Right. The two other things that emerged from the research, and it's all 2014, so it's quite current. One is the preference for U.S. goods and vendors in every part of the world, including Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America and Europe. They would like to buy or do buy already from a U.S. producer on one of these large web marketplaces.
Made in America still has cachet, doesn't it?
It really does, and so that's very important. The second finding is that 32% on average of all of the people surveyed for this say they're going to increase their cross-border purchases. They've been happy with the service, and you know, some of these big platforms now provide free delivery and free returns, and this is something that you know, people have learned here in the United States, and they say, look, I won't buy things unless it's something is for free. So that's sort of built into the process, but there's still people who will buy things, and they will pay full freight for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be discouraged if you feel that you're not ready to provide that goodie yet. So those two things, the preference for U.S. and the likelihood of increasing cross-border purchases in the future, all point towards some advantages for us, especially in this time of high-value dollar,
right,
where people are paying more for our goods than they did a year ago.
We've got to make sure that when we do this, that we're able to demonstrate the value that they're paying, that they're getting for what they're paying for. That's great research. That's good, and it's really good news for what for exporters of American goods, Doug. One of the things I want to point out, though, as we wrap up, are the implications for you. If you're out there and you're not paying attention to this, if you're not aware, there got to be some implications that are coming at you from other people in your industry, or maybe not even your industry, maybe even out of your industry. So what I'd recommend folks do, Doug, is that even if you're saying, well, I'm not ready to do that yet, you've got to say to yourself, but could this impact me if somebody else does it? Could it cost me availability of goods? Could it reduce my access to inventory? Could it be used by a non-competitor but still hurt me? And maybe that would get your attention, Doug, to say, well, maybe I need to, you know, play a little offense here and not so much defense. What do you think?
Well, that's right. And if you have unsold inventory at the end of the year or during the course of the year, there's a buyer in some part of the world, maybe it's a seasonal thing where it's wintertime here and summer someplace else, and you just have to understand how your goods are consumed. Take a look at some of these sites and see if they're similar products to your own, and what are those price points, and how are they described, and who's buying them. There's a lot of free data out there, and we can help you identify this and begin to put together an e-commerce cross-border plan for your business.
And you're writing a book about it right now, and it's going to be available later in the year, and you're going to let us launch it on this show, aren't you?
Absolutely. Of course.
Good answer. That was the right answer, Doug.
I want to come back.
Export.gov is the web. We like you too, Doug. Export.gov, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Hey, Doug, thanks for being here. Good job as always. Come back real soon.
Thanks a million.
Doug Barry, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we'd get smarter when Doug joined us. He'll be back another day. I'll be back, but not today. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.